KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:07, we have dense fog, about 0.2 mile visibility outside the KJAN studios. We look through the dense fog to continue through about 8 a.m. to be cautious if you're out and about driving this morning. Sky should be partly cloudy, and it'll be breezy today as well, a high around 75. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by your independent insurance agents. In Elkhorn, see Terry Peterson at Insurance Services Incorporated, or call 712-764-6000. In Western Iowa news, a former trainer, teacher, and coach accused of sexual abuse will never teach again in Iowa. According to the Daily Nonpareil, the Board of Educational Examiners issued a permanent revocation of 46-year-old Michael Travis's teaching license last month after Travis pleaded guilty August 18th to simple assault, a misdemeanor, and agreed to surrender his license to the state. Travis did not have to register as a sex offender and did not serve any jail time. He received a deferred judgment and continued to maintain his innocence in a statement. He'd been a teacher at Traynor Elementary School and assistant softball coach at Traynor High School at the time of his arrest in May of 2014. A prosecutor with the Pottawatomie County Attorney's Office said the alleged victims, three former softball players and a fifth grader, with alleged incidents from 2002 to 2006, were involved in the plea deal and wanted to make sure that Travis wouldn't remain a teacher. The Board of Educational Examiners voted October 9th to revoke his license as well as endorsements as a K-12 athletic coach, K-6 elementary classroom teacher, and K-8 physical education teacher. He also held an expired substitute license. The revocation carries no possibility of reinstatement. Oh, the Iowa National Guard plans to close an armory in Adams County next year.
You know, the Iowa National Guard has had a presence in Corning for nearly 125 years. It was a decision that was extremely difficult for us as an organization to make.
That's Colonel Greg Hapgood, a public affairs officer for the Iowa National Guard. The majority of the 80 soldiers assigned to the Corning Armory are part-time rather than full-time members of the Guard.
Of the 80 soldiers that are located at the Corning Armory, four of those are full-time. Two are recruiters and two are administrative personnel that are readiness soldiers that work at the armory.
All will be transferred to Camp Dodge in Johnston, but the timing of their transfer and the permanent closure of the Corning Armory depends on the sale of the building. The current armory in Corning opened in 1993.
As the armory isn't quite 25 years old, that would mean that we still have a federal debt on that armory. Any armory sold before it's 25 years old, there's a certain amount allotted per month. So our job in this particular case is to put the armory up for sale to the public, sell the armory, and then we'll move the unit after the armory is sold.
Officials expect the sale to happen by mid-2016, but if a buyer isn't found by then, Colonel Hapgood said the armory will be put up for auction. The Iowa National Guard has had a unit based in the town of Corning since 1892.
The first unit that was assigned to Corning, they actually met at a hotel in downtown Corning. So we physically had a unit located in Corning since the early 1890s, but there have been several different structures that they have used for their location to drill and store their equipment.
The Iowa National Guard has closed 13 armories in the past 15 years, and the Guard's Adjutant General said the military is operating in a fiscally constrained environment that requires such considerations and closures. Colonel Hapgood said the Guard is undergoing constant evaluations to review what's needed from its soldiers at state and federal levels. Other armories that have been closed since 2000 were located in Sioux Center, Villisca, Mapleton, Atlantic, Clarinda, Glenwood, Hampton, Jefferson, Sheraton, Newton, Eagle Grove, and Centerville. The soldiers based at the soon-to-be-closing Corning Armory have been serving in the Army Infantry and have fought in the Spanish-American War, World War I, and Operation Enduring Freedom in Afghanistan. Checking our funeral announcements, Denny Jensen, age 71, of Chicago and formerly of Greenfield, died October 24th. A funeral mass for Denny Jensen will be this morning at 10:30 at St. John's Catholic Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Charlisa Lisa Renee Robinson, age 49, of Irwin, died Friday. Funeral services for Lisa Robinson will be today at 10:30 at Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Judy Mulner, age 82, of Griswold and formerly of Clarinda, died October 26th. Graveside services for Judy Mulner will be today at 1:30 at the Griswold Cemetery. Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Dorothy Mae Jacobson Moser, age 83, of Stewart and formerly of Casey, died Sunday. Funeral services for Dorothy Moser will be on Wednesday at 10:30 at St. John's Lutheran Church in Casey. Johnson Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Guile Tye, aged 93, of Glenwood and formerly of Griswold, died Saturday. A celebration of life funeral service for Guile Tye will be Thursday at 10:30 at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. Rainer Hemmingson, age 80, of Atlantic, died Wednesday. Memorial services for Rainer Hemmingson will be this Thursday at 11 o'clock at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. Jerry Dean Richards, age 61, of Creston, has died. Celebration of Life Memorial Services for Jerry Richards will be Thursday at 1:30 at the Powers Funeral Home in Creston. Bill Matheny, age 86, of Anita, died Friday at Caring Acres in Anita. Memorial services for Bill Matheny will be on Friday at 10:30 at the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Anita. And Elmer Sheeter, age 96, of Greenfield, died Friday at the Adair County Hospital. Memorial services for Elmer Sheeter will be held Friday at 2 o'clock at the Stuart Mount Vernon United Methodist Church. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home has the arrangements. The news was brought to you by your independent insurance agents, Brocker, Carnes & Carnes, with offices in Atlantic, Anita, and Council Bluffs. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.